Hello and welcome to All About Brahma Kumaris. My name is Magla Pillay. I'm a judicial officer from South Africa. We have here in the studio with us today Brahma Kumari Denise, who's been practicing Raja Yoga meditation with the Brahma Kumaris for over 40 years. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, the Brahma Kumaris has established itself for 77 years in India, and they are people who are practicing Raja Yoga meditation with the Brahma Kumaris in over 120 countries across the globe. The subject that we are taking up today is something that's understood by almost every one of you watching today's program, but not necessarily applied. And by that I mean the law of karma. It can't possibly be news to you that such a law exists that governs human conduct, but if you're anything like me, most of us ignore the law of karma and continue to do whatever we want anyway. And so what we're here to ask Sister Denise is what the law of karma is, how does it operate, are there any exceptions, and also what is the relationship between an aggressor and victim, and what is the reason for the sorrow in the world today? Is that to do with the law of karma, or is there another purpose? So if you are interested in any of these questions, please join me for the next half an hour, where we have what I'm sure will be an extremely enriching and enlightening conversation with Sister Denise. Thank you, Denise Ben, and very warm welcome to today's show.
Thank you.
Like I told the viewers just now, the law of karma is something that everyone has heard of, and people may not necessarily call it that. The Bible says, as you sow, so shall you reap. It exists in every single religion globally. But yet, if you look at mankind, it's quite obvious that they go forth as if that law has never been heard of. Okay?
Yes.
And people just do whatever they want. What is the law of karma?
Well, as you said, as you sow, so shall you reap. Any thought, word, or deed is a seed, and it produces a fruit which you will have to take. And if you sow good seeds, you get good fruit, you feel happy. If you sow bad seeds, the bad fruit comes, you have to eat it, you suffer. And so we would say that all the human suffering in the world is a result of negative action.
Okay, you astounded me there, because you said thoughts. Like most of the viewers, I'm under the impression that only your negative actions create negative karma. But are you saying words create karma, words as well? But are you saying you can create a negative account with your mind, with thoughts?
Absolutely. A thought is an act of mind.
Okay, so you can get a return of simply by thinking.
Yes, if you think bad about someone, first of all, they will figure it out and they will think resentfully back to you, and you will receive that. And it will create a problem in your relationship with that person, just at the level of thought. And you know how much people do obsessive compulsive thinking.
Yes.
That's really negative karma.
Okay, so you create a negative account simply by thinking,
yes,
by speaking, and by doing.
Yes.
So what happens to that karma then, the debt,
well,
as it were?
You pay, and you pay for negative karma through negative experiences. You suffer.
So there are many people across the globe, I see this in my profession all the time, who get away with being bad people. Negative karma. Can you explain?
Well, they get away from it today.
Today.
But it's relentless, you know, it's inexorable. You know, whatever you do, it will come back to you. You know, in a sense, the idea that's there in some of the scriptures, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, that's what happens.
Hmm. Where does God fit into the picture?
Well, God is the one.
So the reason I'm asking is because people of many religions across the globe believe that I was taught as a child, if you do something bad, God will punish you. Okay? Now, Are you being punished by God if I'm involved in an accident, touch wood, if I'm involved in an accident, is it because God is punishing me, or is it because...
No, these are beliefs, you see. But actually, the law of karma happens in such a way that, God doesn't need to reward you. If you do good karma, it brings a reward. God doesn't need to punish you. If you do negative karma, it's automatic machine. And so the role of God in all of this is very different from what people think. And once I start saying this type of thing, then I'm really deviating from conventional views about God. You see?
Yeah, you are.
And so what
you
God...
You really are throwing cat amongst the pigeons.
Yes. What God would say is, I explain the laws of karma so that you are adequately informed. You know, because when people know the law of karma in terms of a little statement like, what goes around comes around, as you sow, so you reap, you know, it's much too simplistic for people to actually integrate it into their lives. And so I think the importance of God as a teacher is to say, look, this is how karma works in detail. This is how the law operates. And so your thoughts, your words, your deeds. One thing that God tells is that the original qualities of all souls are purity, peace, power, love, and bliss.
That is not what the world is today.
But that's the original qualities.
Okay.
Now, when a soul passes through time and performs actions, the energy of the soul gets depleted. And so what God is also saying is that everyone's running on empty. And so what is your level of purity, peace, power, love, and bliss? Well, practically zero. And the empty space where that is not is occupied by its opposite. And this is why you have an enormous amount of negative energy which is influencing the karma of a person. So they'll say, well, I would love to be good, but, you know, this happened, and they will justify various negative actions by blaming or excusing. So God will say, okay, that's okay, but, you know, what you need is you need to take power from me, because I am the power source, and you're in trouble because you're weak, not because you're bad. You're weak.
There's a difference between being weak and bad?
Yes, there is. If you're weak, you got to get strong. And then when you're strong, then you will operate in a way that is true to yourself. That is, you will operate as a pure, peaceful, powerful, loveful, blissful being of light. When you're weak and you're under the influence of external energies, so you're reactive. If somebody's angry with you, you take it in, feel resentful, and then give it back as soon as you are in a position of power to whoever's weak in comparison with you. This is how it works.
There's thousands of people listening to you right now who are suffering mentally, who are in intense physical pain, whose relationship are in absolute shambles, who have nothing to eat, okay, whose future looks abysmal, okay, if at best, who not even sure why they're alive, and whose every moment is one of intense sorrow. I'm using a worst case scenario, or abject despair, or there's somebody listening to you who's on the verge of suicide. What do you have to say to them who you call that person somebody with a heavy karmic debt, won't you? What would you say to them?
I would say, turn your attention to God. Right now, your attention is on the negative, which amplifies it, and you're locked into that negativity. You feel negative, so you act negative, so then you experience negativity. It's a vicious circle. So that vicious circle has to be broken. And so hopefully, part of the work that we do is to send energy around the world so that people can pick it up and feel waves of peace or waves of love, which would stop them from being in that and say, oh, you know, where does this feeling of relief come from? And that feeling of relief makes it possible for a person to stop being in the negative treadmill and start to focus on God. Because as soon as you focus on God, you start getting energy.
Okay.
You get power. And then when you've got power, then you have more power over your life. You can choose what to do. You're empowered.
If somebody has a fairly good life and they have a fairly average to high moral standard by which they live, and they're not sad or unhappy in any way, would like their future to be as good as their present is. How do you ensure, how do you create negative karma, bad karma, the one that comes and bites you from the behind, and how do you stop yourself from doing it? Isn't that the problem? Most people are oblivious to what has created their debts, because from what I understand from what you just said, when you create the account and by the time the debt accumulates, because there's a time separation between you creating and you experiencing, you can't link it.
You make the connection, that's right.
Yes, that is a problem that most people face, isn't it?
Because they say, you know, why do bad things happen to good people?
Yes, yeah.
And what we would say is, you know, everybody's good, and everybody does good things and bad things. But when something bad happens to you, it's payment for a debt that maybe you can't even remember creating. Maybe it came from another lifetime.
Okay.
But the time for settlement is coming up now. One of the things that we learn in Brahma Kumaris is the period of time we're going through is a settlement time. So maybe you've accumulated over a long, long time, but all the bills are here. You have to pay them. That's why there's so much suffering.
So what creates negative account?
Negative action.
Well, okay, define negative action. The obvious is if I go slap somebody, then
yes,
I will get the return of that. If I insult somebody, I'll get the return of that.
Exactly.
But is there anything that we're doing that we're not seeing?
We learn about 5 vices in Brahma Kumaris: greed, attachment, lust, ego, and anger. So when you are doing actions based on any of those, that will be negative karma. Your original state is purity, peace, power, love, and bliss. Try doing karma from that base instead of the base of the vices. You know, so you're spiritually based instead of... The vices emerge from materialism.
Mm-hmm.
In the Gita, it's quite clearly expressed. First of all, you get attracted because you're locked into your sense perception. So you get attracted, something beautiful, someone beautiful, some beautiful place. You want it. Maybe you're denied it. That will make you angry. Because you're attached to it, and you know, there's a process where eventually it destroys your ability to think clearly, and then you do the action which is really harmful for yourself, driven by desire. And this is the whole foundation of Buddhism. You know, Buddha was sitting under the Bodhi tree for 49 days and refusing to move until he understood what was the reason for human suffering. And the answer he got was desire. So the whole teaching of Buddhism is based on very much understanding of the laws of karma and controlling your desires.
If you speak about you do something wrong, even though you didn't realize you're doing something wrong, and then you receive the return of that, is there any such thing as a victim? Is there such a thing as a victim? Is there? So there's human terms, aggressor and victim.
Yes.
Perpetrator and, you know, offence and crime. Is there such a thing?
Well, in a way there is, because the amount of negative action is constantly increasing. So definitely there is. But if you find yourself a victim or you are affected by some crime, you know, how you take it, how you deal with it at the time and subsequently and so on and so forth, if you're full of resentment, then you are going to be adding negative energy to that and actually intensifying your victimhood. If you take it in your stride and you just finish it off, then you would be, it would be said you'd be, you know, finishing some karma and, you know, no resentment, keep going. That's a better way.
Mm. So the typical Brahma Kumar or Kumari, how do they lead their lives that's different with their understanding of the law of karma as opposed to people who aren't part of this
community? You see, vegetarian food, we will say that's also karma because you're not causing animals to be killed by your demand for flesh. You know, there are many, many areas of social activities which we would say this is negative karma. Other people will say, no, it's necessary or it's good. So there'd be a disagreement. And okay, you can agree to differ, but eventually the clarification will be given back to you in terms of the results. And so what we find is if we do follow all the various little details and recommendations to really have very pure karma, pure thought, pure words, then our lives become very, very good. And when we find ourselves disagreeing with something and we say, okay, well, I don't agree, so I'm going to go that way, eventually you will have to pay for it, and then you will get the point that, well, this is something that causes you to have to pay, not something that causes you to receive blessings and benefits. So it's very, very mathematical.
Hmm. So if the average person who's now informed of the law of karma wants to protect himself from the negative effects from his own karmic debt, what do you do? Is every person, everyone of us has created debts, okay? There can't possibly be a human being without a negative, with a positive balance only.
That's all right.
Have negative. Mm. So do you just spend your entire life thinking, okay, when is the popo going to hit the fan? When's it coming?
No, you don't. You take it in your stride because it's going to come unexpectedly.
It involves pain.
Pain, yeah, you have to have pain. No pain, no gain. Have you heard about that one?
That's what you usually get told in aerobics class. But how does it work in terms of your karma?
Well, you going along, doing pure karma, and all of a sudden this or that bad thing happens, and you suffer, and you will calculate in your mind, well, it's not from my immediate past karma, but it has to be from some other past karma that I'm not aware of, so I have to settle the debt and get through this and carry on doing good karma. Yoga itself is good karma.
The only way, you created the debt, you settle it by suffering?
You can settle it by suffering, you can settle it by handling your suffering, which you can do very well through yoga. Because in meditation, for example, you have a bodily pain. And if you're a good meditator, you'll be able to separate yourself from the pain so that it becomes tolerable from intolerable. And you just allow it to pass through.
Yes. I don't understand. What does that mean? You're in physical, you're experiencing intense physical pain. Okay? Explain to me how you...
You separate yourself from your body. And you can reduce the pain, well, Daddy Jenki says 80%, 90%. Nowadays, it can be 100%.
Through meditation? Mm-hmm. Okay, that's...
I've done this myself. I know that it's possible and I know that it works and I know that the pain just comes through and passes through. You see, when you block it, when you resist it, it multiplies.
I see.
And okay. If you suppress it with drugs, then it's going to come again, you know, with more force.
Hmm. Okay, so you can use little karma through, well, physical suffering?
It can be mental pain, physical pain, social pain, financial pain. Many varieties of tests come to a person, and you can say to yourself, this is a test, well, so I'm going to pass it. I'm going to take it as a challenge and move forward. Or you could say, this is a punishment, and feel bad about yourself, and then it'd be more difficult for you to move through it because of your attitude that this is punishment, you see. So it's better attitude to just say, well, this is a test, you know. And you know at the back of your mind you must have done some kind of karma that created it, but you don't look at it as payment or punishment or something like that.
Mm.
That finishes it off very quickly.
So what is the Brahma Kumaris offer to individuals that makes them enables them to handle their karmic debt better?
Yoga. Everything we do is all about encouraging oneself and other people to practice soul consciousness, to be in mental connection, yoga with God, because then you are drawing that energy, the purity, the love, the power, the peace into yourself, and then you are able to do whatever comes up. So the key is yoga.
Mm. One has to be exceptionally strong to be able to have that level of resilience that you just spoke of, to be able to handle karmic debt. Because at the end of the day, we're all human, okay? To suffer is exceptionally unpleasant. And what you're saying is that we all have a negative karmic debt, and we're all going to suffer. How do you build up that resilience?
Well, this is, again, it's the yoga that makes you strong. And as you have an accumulation of yoga, you become a resilient person. Also, your life experience makes you resilient.
Okay.
It's a very good thing to be resilient.
I see. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Karma is not for sissies. Sister Denise, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon on this subject, of fascinating subject of the law of karma, something that we all understand, but there you have it. This is how you apply it. Understand that you're a soul, and simply deepen your relationship with God, and that will be the answer to reduce whatever karmic debt you have that is in your own account. We thank Sister Denise for joining us this afternoon, and I hope you enjoyed the discussion as much as I have. We hope to see you soon. Thank you and goodbye.